Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
Thrills. So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable!
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Oh, stuffed full of chocolate eggs from the Easter weekend, the both of us, MG. Happy Easter to you and your family. And let's get the first-hand account. Allianz Stadium, 100-plus Westies travelled in by bus, decked out in Mav Guy T-shirts. How was it, my friend?
It was awesome, buddy. It was everything that I thought it would be, and then some. You know, when as parents, I was speaking to my wife, Megan, about it post the game, and there's a thousand things that go through your mind. Like, it's even after the jersey presentation, they still had to do a captain's run. You go, what if something happens in the captain's run? What if this happens? What if that happens? And look, it couldn't have went any better. You know, he only got 30 minutes in the game. He was solid and got his first taste of what it was like to be in the big boys. I was there, obviously, I was there live, and it was really, for me to see how quick the Penrith defensive line gets up in people's faces live, like from an end as well, like I was at the northern end. It was just a sight to behold. They certainly are an enormous rugby league team. They are fantastic. There's a reason they've won three in a row. It's because their attention to detail is second to none. And, look, it's a moment that we'll never forget. When he came on the field, it was just total joy. And so much pride, Liam, that went through the body. You know, it's surreal still to think that he was running out in the field with the team that's won three grand finals in a row. And it's... But I said to him, you know, after the game, we come back to my house, not all 101 of us, about probably half, but there's about 50 people back at my house. We got back here at about 12:30 in the morning and went till about 8 o'clock that morning. So yeah, a bit dodgy, but you don't make your debut every day. So he was happy with it. He got through it unscathed, and it was a joyful night, brother. It was a joyful night.
And then this week, James Fisher-Harris rolls back in and he's named amongst the reserves.
That's rugby league, baby.
That's rugby league. Well, look, you know, watching from afar and seeing all the social stuff that not only the club but also Logues as well, it brought a big smile to my face. I certainly enjoyed it. And look, we're going to get to the games for round four a bit later on. But the Panthers, just next man up mentality. They do what they do, and they continue to roll on despite the injuries, and that's why they've won the last three competitions.
Yep.
Let's get to some big stories that are rolling around before we do get to the games of the weekend. Firstly, from a player perspective, you got to love what Shane Flanagan is doing at the Dragons.
Yeah.
He's got them, 2-2 to start the year, and yet now we get confirmation yesterday that Zach Lomax's final 2 years of his contract have been essentially they're waving goodbye to him, and he's given permission to go and meet with other clubs. And the word is he's going to meet with Brad Arthur and the Parramatta Eels today.
Yeah, and I think that's the right thing for the club to do. When you've got a player who is motioning from early on in the season, this is from round one, he got put in the wing round one. So we heard the drums beating even after that first game that that Zach wasn't happy to be put on the wing, and he deems himself as a centre or fullback. And when you got your when you've got your highest paid rugby league player unhappy, there's no point in keeping you on. I think it's a win-win. I think the club will, you know, you've got Moses Suli and Jack Bird playing great in the centres, and you've got Sloan at fullback who's starting to reach the potential we all know he's got. And Zach Lomax is, while he's been fantastic on the wing for the Dragons, and I think he leads hit-ups, he's, you know, leads meters, and he can get another winger to do that. You know, there's a plethora of other players who can do that role. So obviously, Shane Flanagan doesn't see him as that centre player or the fullback, and hey, I'm not going to argue with Flano at the moment because he's got his team humming, in particular last weekend down at Wynn Stadium against the Seagulls.
I was just going to say, Zach, okay, so he goes and meets, and Parramatta are reportedly interested in giving him a contract through to the end of 2027.
Yep.
I can't see it being on the reported 800, 880 that he's on at the moment.
No. No, that won't happen. There's no way that Parramatta have got that in their salary cap to splash out on a player. But their centres are their Achilles heel at the moment. The Parramatta Eels, I think young Bailey Simonson's back in this weekend after mm-hmm. Morgan Harper had a run. You know, they're, since they lost Waka Blake and they've got Penasini on one side who's cemented that role. So look, it's they're after a couple of outside backs. The irony of that it would be if you went to Parramatta and played on the wing, what would happen? I suppose that'll be in the small print from his management. We'll say that if we're going to go to Parramatta, we're not playing anywhere but centre, and that's the way we are these days with rugby league teams, Liam. That the manager would say to the Parramatta team, well, you know, if we're going to come there, we're playing fullback, or we won't be playing fullback because you know Gutho's there, so he'd be in the centres. And yeah, look, it's just the revolving door. It continues. A lot of people asking what's the difference between Ben Hunt motioning for an exit last season and not being allowed. Well, there's two reasons. One is Shane Flanagan, and two, that Ben Hunt is a lot more valuable to the Dragons than Lomax is. So
Ben Hunt is your captain. He's your playmaker. If you can replace a winger, which is what Zach Lomax is at the Dragons right now, but you can't replace everything that Ben Hunt delivers. Just quickly, while we are with the Dragons, you mentioned Terrell Sloan, and I reckon it's about 3 years ago you marked him as your player to watch for the season ahead before he really even made his debut. I look at reports today that the Dragons are potentially, or they've come out this week, the Dragons are looking at splashing $1 million offer his way. I get nervous when I read that because, I mean, it's exactly what happened with Zach Lomax to some extent. I mean, Zach Lomax is only 24 years of age. He's got a heap of footy ahead of him and we wish him all the best. But I don't know if he's been worth the price tag for the Dragons over the journey. And I look at I would hate to see a club that seems like it's got some green shoots happening here at the Dragons fall down that same path of over-investing in someone on potential alone when there's no runs on the board as yet.
Yeah, the runs certainly aren't on the board, but I suppose if you're looking at the potential of Sloan, you wouldn't want another club, you know, snapping him up and taking him away, and then he starts to, you know, basically fulfil all the potential that you see in him. I think it's a good gamble. I think if I was a gambling man, I think he's come back about 4 or 5 kilos heavier this off season. I think under Flanagan, who prides himself on fitness and strength, I think under him he'll be even bigger and better next year. He's starting to take the line on a lot more. He's starting to not miss those overt tackles that he was missing last season and the season before. And defence is the number one priority for a fullback, and you've got to be able to, you know, make sure that the guys in front of you, who are the other 12 players, know that once the defence gets through them, the attack gets through them, that our number one is just as good as us. Well, that hasn't happened for the last couple of years. It's starting to happen this year. And, yeah, look, he seems like a really good kid. He seems good for morale at a club. I saw him get interviewed after the Manly game, and he had his little niece with him in his lap and doing the interview, and he just seems a good kid, you know. And sometimes you're buying culture as well as you're buying potential. Sure. And I think with Terrell Sloan, you're definitely buying a kid who's going to do everything you say as a coach and a club. I don't think he's going to get any trouble, touch wood, off the field. He looks like a pretty down-to-earth type of kid. And I just like the way there's a couple of really good stories in rugby league at the moment, and the Dragons are one of them. It's the Dragons, the Dolphins, and the Tigers, for mine, are the three stories in rugby league at the moment that are capturing the rugby league world's hearts. And it's why we are getting so many people watching the game.
16,500 they had turn up at Wollongong for that win over Manly on the weekend. So well done to the Dragons fans for turning out en masse and supporting your club. Quickly, before we move away from them, if Lomax, because at this stage, Zach is going to stick around to the end of the season. Yeah. Unless the Dragons can be satisfied with a player swap. Now, I'm not sure if the Eels have what's required to satisfy the Dragons, because the Dragons want a winger, and the reports are that Shane's already turned his attention out west to the Penny Panthers. He likes the look of Taruva, and why wouldn't you? And Jordan Pataia from the Queensland Reds is the other one.
Yeah.
Now, I can bring a bit of Queensland insight here. I spoke to Les Kiss, the coach of the Reds, a week or so ago about Jordan Petit. And look, the difficult thing about rugby union and their contracts is essentially there wasn't a lot Les Kiss can do because he's waiting on the ARU to come with something for, of a Wallabies contract for Jordan. Yep. Now, if that contract is worthy, then the Reds, you know, can make up whatever the difference is and they hold on to him. But there's not a lot Queensland Reds can do to stop suitors like the Dragons coming for a guy of the calibre of Jordan Petit who could easily come and fill a wing spot for the Dragons.
Oh, look, if I had to give a message to Flano, it would be this. Take Petit, not Taruva. He's surplus to your needs, mate. He wouldn't be the same player at the Dragons.
They reckon they can trump him. What's he being offered by the Panthers? 350, the reporter?
Yeah.
And the Dragons reckon they can go above that.
They obviously can. I think a lot of clubs can. It's the same old story that these players from this premiership winning team have to weigh up. On one hand, do I take more money in the short term, or do I stick around in a team that's going to win 85% of their games, and then have a look at my options once I'm, in my mid-20s? Because Taruva's only a kid as well. So, look, I would hate to see him leave Penrith because I watched him a couple of years ago in the World Cup when he played fullback for Fiji, and I went, this kid is going to be hot property, and at the moment he is. He obviously got Dylan Edwards at fullback, but Taruva can play anywhere. He can play in the halves, he can play centre, he can play wing, he can play fullback. So he would be a fantastic buy for any other club, but he stated openly that he wants to stay at Penrith. So Penrith have also got guys like Mitch Kenny up for contract at the end of this year. So it's the juggling act that continues at Penrith. A lot of notable first graders off contract. So that's the likes of Ivan and Matt Cameron, the footy officer, footy manager, to get these guys and shore up a deal. So that's been one of their strengths in the years gone by since they've won these competitions, Penrith, is keeping the players that they want to keep. And Taruva's one of them. I know that Penrith love him and he loves Penrith. So obviously if they can find a little bit more carriage, it'll be a done deal.
It's got a lot of vibes of the Melbourne Storm in the Penrith at the moment with the way the players are prepared to stick around for less because they know success is on the way. Hey, there are some things in our game that are crystal clear, and there are some things in our game that are clear as mud. And right now, the big talking point is the obstruction rule, and Graham Annesley must be so sick of walking through this every Monday in his usual meeting. Can you dumb it down, take out the noise, take out the club bias, take out, personal, can you just dumb it down and either how do you want to see this rule officiated?
Well, it's come a long way from when I used to play, and they called it a shepherd. When you go behind the back of an opponent, now it's got these lead runners coming through the line and clipping someone's fingernail, and they fall down like they've been shot from someone in the grandstand. Look, rugby league players can lift a small car in the gym. What I don't like is when they get clipped by, they get clipped by a toenail and they fall to their ground like they've been shot. We bag other sports, i.e. soccer, for the dives they take. We've got to have a really good look at ourselves as a code and say, do we want to become soccer? Because the players have the power to stop this. If you want to get to a ball, you can get to a ball. You can sidestep away your way around a defender. You can barge him away. You can do other things. Look, you can do a lot of things to get to the rugby league ball. But at the moment, they're saying that it can't be black and white. Well, I disagree. I think it can be black and white, but we've also got to use a bit of common sense. Because we can see on a rugby league field, let's take, for instance, Dylan Edwards against the Roosters. The next day, the bunker was too quick here to jump up and down and say, we got that wrong. I disagree with the bunker. I think they got it right. I agree with the bunker, sorry. I think they got it right because Edwards was flying across from his own in-goal, from his own post. Jared Warrior-Hargraves came through. He ran about 20 or 30 metres. In fact, he ran too far through the line because he interfered with Dylan Edwards. So Dylan had no chance to get across to Manu to stop that try. He could have got there because he's running about, I think, 32 k's an hour or something when it happened. So the other one was the disallowed try to Joey Manu as well. Was it Joey Manu? Yes, it was Joey Manu.
Mm-hmm.
It was the disallowed try to, who was it? I'm trying to think because it was Penrith who got disallowed. Penrith got a try allowed after Tupanua got clipped by Liam Martin. There's not much difference. There's not much difference in it. So I'm getting a headache thinking about this. I really am. So it's up to Graham Annesley, I feel sorry for the bugger every Monday when he's got to come and explain it, because I don't think anyone knows, Liam, what's going on. You've got two commentators sitting in the box who disagree with each other. You've got two sets of fans sitting in the stadium who disagree with each other. So what you've got to do is you've got to try and make it a little bit more black and white with a touch of common sense prevailing. If a bloke gets clipped 15, 20 metres in from a try that was scored on the wing, yeah, he could have got there, but he wouldn't have. He wouldn't have stopped the try. So you know, if it's something very close to in proximity, say 5 metres or 7 metres, well, then you've got a point because that player could have been, that player was definitely impeded and he could have been. We see ones that are like the Jake Trbojevic ones. We see that are blatant recently. Jake went and stopped right in the line of, was it Parra or whoever it was? And
yeah, it was against Parramatta and Manly cried robbery, but that was a clear obstruction.
That was a clear obstruction, but I don't know, Liam. To answer your question from the top of this chat, I don't know. It's doing my head in. It really is. I feel sorry for the referees. I feel sorry for the bunker. I don't feel sorry for the players because they've got the power. The players have the power to stop this. We play in a day where our players are at an optimum performance ratio. They are just so well oiled and so well drilled that you can't tell me that a bloke who just bumps you, makes you end up on your back. Come on, man. If I'm running in the line and you're running in front of me, yeah, we're going to collide. I'm going to fall, not on my back. I'm just going to get bumped and fall off the trail. I'm not going to fall on my back and writhe around like I've got a laser up my ass. It's just not that. It's not that black and white.
Well, I agree with you. It's difficult. I think the current obstruction rules were introduced in 2013, so they've been around for over a decade now in the game, and we always see these flare-ups. It's always something, and you hope and I trust that the NRL won't overreact. I do, because you know the people running the game and controlling the rule book have been doing it for long enough that they know that these things, you know, they come in waves. This
They're
is
cyclical.
The hot topic.
They're cyclical,
exactly.
Yeah.
I just wonder if there's an opportunity for the NRL to meet with clubs on an individual basis and have an honest conversation about them, about milking and about these players, you know, as you say, going down when they get clipped with a fingernail.
The coaches set the agenda, Liam. The coaches in our game set the agenda.
Have the meeting with the coaches.
Short dropouts, they have ways of getting around everything. They have ways of manipulating every rule in the game. It's their job. It's their job to make it easier for them to win. So, yeah, you're right. I agree with you 100%.
Have a meeting with the coaches.
If the coaches fair dinkum to say, boys, you know, we don't – look, no coach coaches hip drop injuries.
No.
Every coach wrestles, but every coach doesn't do a – what's the one in the back of the head when you get pushed down? What's that?
The crusher.
The crusher. No one coaches crushes. They are accidents that happen in our game because a lot of players these days back into the defense. Well, guess what's going to happen when you're back into the defense? You're next going to be pushed down towards the ball because the bloke behind you, who is the defender, has nothing else to do but do that. So, yeah, there's some subtleties in our game that could change because of the coaches' mandates. No doubt about it. So,
but if the coaches, yeah, and you're right, and if the coaches see an opportunity
to exploit it,
they will. I just wonder whether if the NRL has an honest conversation with the coaches and say, look, you know, we can't stop you from coaching these blokes to go down if the runner comes through and clips them.
But it's not the spirit of the game. It's not the spirit of the game.
Yeah, and you know, and I get the coaches who might have the attitude, well, I don't give a toss about the spirit of the game. I want to keep my job and I want to win a comp. I can understand that logic. But here's what I would say if I'm the NRL and I have that meeting with the coaches. Hey, we can't stop you from coaching this, but we are going to start whacking you in the hip pocket. We are going to start issuing fines to your club if we sit down and review your games and we decide you have players that are over-egging this situation, that are overreacting to the runners through the defensive line. We're going to start issuing fines.
It's all in the interpretation because you can't tell me in a game of rugby league, when we spoke about this last week, about the six to go, how many six to goes do you see on a footy field and you go, what was that for? Like, what was that for?
Yeah.
What was that for? I don't know. That's the thing. That's the anomaly in our game, that we've got something like the six to go happening in our game where we don't know what's going on, why they've done it. All we hear is a bell ring in the grandstand. Where the obstruction rule is so much more complicated, but it doesn't have to be that complicated. It can be more cut and dry. Stick to the black and white. Okay, if a player runs through the line and touches another player, well, sorry, that's an obstruction rule. If you want to keep it black and white, let's keep it black and white. But if you've got to be consistent with the 60 goes, because I don't know, I reckon there's 50% of 60 goes in a game, or maybe more, that I'm scratching my head saying, what was that for?
MG just thinks the ice cream truck's turning up because he keeps hearing bells go off at the stadium.
Mum, the ice cream man's here, quick.
Speaking of ice cream, Big Nelson. What's he been doing?
He's been eating too much ice cream.
He can't get a game. Craig's not happy. Bellyache thinks he hasn't hit the standards that he upholds there at the Melbourne Storm.
I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this coming because I think that he's one of the most valuable and just one of them players that every team needs one of. He's the enforcer of their club. He's a presence. He's a monster. But if you're not setting the tone off the field as well, your fellow players start to get a little bit jacked of that, and they go, well, if Nelly's coming back 10 kilos overweight from pre-season like we are hearing, then, well, he's really not setting the standards that the Storm would buy by. I don't really know what's going on, to be honest. I don't know what's going on with Big Nelson, but all I know is that Melbourne are a better team with him in the side, and they're playing against this young kid from Brisbane this weekend, who's now the tallest kid in the – and you can tell us a little about him in a second. He's the tallest bloke in the game, about
205 centimetres he is.
We're now in rare air. We now have got a player who's 6'8", so that is unbelievable.
Benjamin Takura, for those playing along at home.
Big Takura. Well, he's playing against Nelson this Thursday night. So when two worlds, as Frankie goes to Hollywood, say, when two worlds come to – what is it?
He's not playing because Nelson's not in the team.
Isn't Nelson? Didn't he?
Nelson's not. He's not getting picked, MG. This is the point.
I thought he was picked yesterday.
No.
Ah, well, there you go. There you go.
Nelson's going to be sitting on the sidelines watching Big Benjamin.
I'm on holidays, mate. I left the pool from my Pina Colada to come and do this podcast. So I haven't been up. I haven't been au fait with the team list Tuesdays because
I'll run you through it in a second.
Okay.
The lifestyle that you're leading at the moment, you could be the coach of the West Tigers, turning up at about 10:30, leaving at about 4:30, and yet got them flying, Benji Marshall. Has he revolutionised coaching?
Well, he's doing something right, isn't he? I think the fact that he's so well revered at Tiger Town, his rugby league IQ is second to none. You know, as an analyst, when he retired, I loved listening to him, delve into the stats and the statistics and all the pros and cons of rugby league. I just love seeing him dissect it. But now as a coach, I think he has found the perfect mix of when to and when not to impose his will. You know, by all reports, he loves his game of golf on a Saturday morning before a game, or if they play Friday or a Sunday, he does the same thing. And he says, I think he was quoted as saying, it's not about the social aspect of me playing golf on a Saturday. It's for me to not sit around the house and think about the game. And then while I'm on the golf course, I think of different things that wouldn't ordinarily think about when I'm sitting at home with the kids and the wife and going through the notes. But he said, most importantly, what I do conjure up while I'm playing golf is the message that I'm going to send to my players just before they run out in the footy field. And it changes each week. And that's the time where I think about what I'm going to say to them, what's going to have the most impact. Do I say anything at all? Do I target certain players? So, look, it's a process that is working, because you watch them against Parramatta Easter Monday, and, man, they were so impressive. They weren't impressive in a flamboyant way. They were impressive in a dogged way, where they got down in the armrest and they said, no, not on our watch.
Yep.
And that's been so rare from the Tigers in the last 5-6 years. I just think when you see like blokes like Dave Clemmer and Papalihi, who have been – there for the last couple of seasons, joined by those young kids who are coming into grade, and obviously Galvin set the he's a kid. Watch his kid flourish. He's 6'3". He's just growing into his body. I love watching.
And what about the performance of Aiden Caesar?
Just the one. He looks a bit like you know that.
I'll take it. He's a good looking rooster. I've always said it.
He's hit his peak at 32 years of age, young Caesar, and he was tough, man. His defense was fantastic. And you know what the best thing about the Tigers is, Liam? That their rookie of the year last year, Jareem Buller, no one's speaking about. No one's saying a word about him. And that is
But he's not playing bad.
No, he's playing great. As is John Bateman. As are most of the team, but it's all eyes are on young Galvin and Caesar from the weekend. But and obviously Carousel, who's just been kicking ass. He'll be the New South Wales hooker. And if he's not the New South Wales hooker this year, there's got to be an inquiry.
Well, the way Rabbitohs are going, and Damien Cook with the way they're traveling at the moment. I mean, he's a long way back.
I don't think Cookie's any chance this season.
So,
I
love the way Appy stood up when Galvin went off from a kicking perspective as well. He was fantastic. And just going back to Aiden Caesar at the moment, he kicked the drop goal to win it, but it was the tackle, I think just a few minutes before on the Parramatta winger. I can't remember who it was at the time. It was just that dislodged the ball, and it was just, it was everything. You love the way. Going back to Benji as well, what I love about him, MG, this is a club, this merger club, that we know the baggage that exists everywhere around this club. They've got 18 different home grounds. They've got 7 boards. They've got a million power brokers that have a say in it. When Benji speaks about football and non-footballing issues, he speaks so plainly. Yep. It's like he gets asked a question and you see this look on his face, which is, Why are you guys making this so complicated? He's reducing it back, you know, really bringing it back to simple elements. And I think that must be, I've never played first grade. I've never been involved at a rugby league club at this level. But I would imagine, and you could probably speak, when your coach is making things simple, it must make your life as a professional footballer so much easier.
Well, he's one of the youngest coaches, if not the youngest coach in first grade, 39 years of age. He's not far removed from playing days. So I think from that point of view, he's got a big benefit because he does, you know. And plus, as soon as he's finished playing, he went to analysis. He went straight to Fox Sports and he was co-commentating and he's on talk shows and stuff. So he hasn't he's not far removed from his playing days, which. You know, I think that's what kind of has helped him, because when you're forced to make opinions on sports shows and stuff, you've got to think about what you're going to say. You can't just blurt out something that's going to be headlines for the next 3 weeks if you don't want it to be. If you're like him, he's pretty well reserved. He's a guy who thinks before he speaks. I think he's bringing a new coolness to the Tigers and all across the land. It's with this weekend's encounter between the Dolphins, his brother, and his mentor, Wayne Bennett. I mean, this is what rugby league is all about. This weekend great coming up, and the last weekend we had a fantastic Easter round weekend. It was just amazing rugby league all across the board.
And I do love looking up to the West Tigers coaching box and seeing Benji sitting there and flanked by Robbie Farah and Johnny Morris.
John Morris, yeah.
I love it. I love it. And I imagine if you're a West Tigers fan, you'd love it as well. So, hey, let's get stuck in. Any other issues from the off-field stuff or storylines from the week you wanted to talk about before we get stuck into this round?
No, I think if there is, we can cover it while we're going through the games.
All right. Let's rip in. We got round 5 on the way, and MG, what a round of footy.
Wow.
You mentioned young Benjamin Takura, who's going to make his debut for the Broncos in the round opener down in Melbourne. On Thursday night, they take on the Melbourne Storm. And what about this? Just injecting C. Munster and Jay Hughes back into your halves pairing, finally. Cam Munster. What a thrill for football fans, whether you love this bloke or not, to see Cam Munster, one of the best in the game, back out on the park.
Well, they missed Jerome Hughes last week big time when they played the Knights before their bye, the Storm. And the Broncos showed exactly what you're missing when Adam Reynolds came back into the fold. And his kicking masterclass against the Cowboys was just a sight to behold. That's what Jerome Hughes brings back to the Storm. No Reece Walsh.
How good was Tristan Sale last week?
He plays fullback at any other club. Actually, I won't say that because there's a lot of good fullbacks in the game. But But he's a first grade rugby league player. You know, he uses class. He's, you know, he's been working on his game for the last two or three seasons, and what we're seeing in 2024 is the finished product of a bloke who's just worked his ass off. So, yeah, look, it's a great backup. I mean, you know, the competitions are won on players you bring into your side when the superstars are injured. You know, Penrith have done it over the years. The Storm have done it. The Roosters have done it. It's that backup player who gets you, you know, five or six wins that you weren't supposed to get through the season, and Tristan Saylor is one of them. I'm favouring Melbourne in Melbourne because they're coming off a bye. You know, they've got Munster and Hughes back. Their forward pack this year seems a lot more mobile and intense, hence why Big Nelson can't get a run. And I think that where are they coming at the moment, the Storm? They're in the top five. They're coming fifth. So, yeah, look, Storm for mine in a tight one, Liam, Thursday night.
All right, and just for those that missed it earlier on, Benjamin Takura, who will make his debut, he's 5 centimetres taller than Nelson, who won't be out there. He's 5 centimetres taller than Dominic Young as well, which is crazy when you think about the size of that Roosters winger. But look, he's a Kiwi young lad who, you know, they've had earmarked at the Broncos. He kind of had a rapid rise a bit last year, but, you know, with someone when you're that physically gifted, height and size-wise, that they're bullish on him. Kevy said he was going to make his debut at some point during the season, and here it is in round five, a chance to go down to the Storm and take on a team that historically has had one of the best forward packs in the game. But looking forward to seeing how the young man goes, and he'll be a part of the Broncos' plans for a long, long time to come. So best of luck to the young fella. Righto, Friday night, 5 o'clock, Acor Stadium. You got the Doggies, who, look, they just kind of ran out of puff in the end against the Rabbitohs last week, taking on a Roosters side that'll be stinging from that loss to the Panthers. No, Addo Carr, he failed a HIA after the game against the Bunnies last week, but they're sticking with Drew Hutchison at halfback. There's been a few calls for Toby Sexton to come back into this dog side at the 7, but they're sticking with Hutchison for now.
Yeah, I don't know how long. I don't know how long for they'll do that. I think it's more of a problem at the back. I think more of so. I'd like to see maybe Taff move to the halves where he's played a bit in South lower grades. I think you got Connor Tracy's your fullback. I mean, that's why Dogs bought him on his fullback form for the Sharkies over the last in 2023. I'd make some subtle changes. We keep seeing. Keep seeing Matty Burton's hands tied at 5'8". He doesn't seem to have that running ability when he's too close to the action. Even some subtle changes mid-game, if you want to bring someone into the first receiver and get Matty Burton just running the football, which he was famous for when he played for Penrith. I think he played Origin, didn't he? Didn't he play Origin in the centres?
Yeah.
I mean, Matty Burton is one of them guys who's just a born athlete. And I think sometimes he's got too much on his plate when he's thinking about what to do and who to set up and how many kicks I should do, get this torpedo happening. So to take that away from him, I'd mix it up a bit. I'd put Connor Tracy at fullback, that's for sure, and maybe move Burton to the centres with Taff in the halves. Look, they've got options. They've got plenty of options there in Dogtown. They've got Jake, whoever, they've got Kurt
Jacob
Mann.
Jacob Carraz is at their centres.
Kurt Mann could play 5'8". Kurt Mann's played 5'8" at the Newcastle Knights. So, look, they've got to make some subtle changes because they're coming – They're fourth last. They've only won one game this season, and that was a hard-fought game. So I still think the Roosters will be smarting. Lindsay Collins is back this week. Angus Crichton moves into the forward pack instead of off the bench. And you're right, they will be pissed off the way they played against Penrith. They got close, 22-16, but I think the scoreboard flattered the Roosters, and they'd be the first to say that.
Tipping the Roosters, before we move on from that, I did want to just tip the cap to Stephen Crichton. I've been really impressed with his leadership. I've been really impressed with the way he's captaining this side. I know it was a bold decision by Serrato to go with Crichton as the captain when he's just turned up at the club. But I've been really impressed with the way Stephen Crichton's carrying himself as the skipper of the Dogs. So best of luck to them. Righto, second game Friday night, the Knights hosting the Dragons. Mouth-watering game this presents to be.
It's mouth-watering in so many ways because I thought Kalen Ponga's game was fantastic in a beaten team against the Warriors, and I think he's ready to explode. He's in that vein where I think he's ready to explode in one of these games, and I think this could be the game he explodes in. Adam O'Brien still hasn't found his 6 and 7. Hastings comes back in for Gamble now, and look, it's getting confusing, and the players, the forward pack must be getting confused, because every time they go to put their bags in the dressing room for another game, there's a different 6 and 7 sitting next to them. So he's got to get this happening. He's got to get it right, and he's got to get it yesterday, because the Newcastle Knights are on the bottom of the, almost on the bottom of the ladder. And after their run home last season, they're expected of more. And I think Ponga will deliver Friday night against the Dragons, who seem to me be that one team who will beat teams they're not supposed to.
But yeah,
consistency might be their biggest drama in 2024. Winning two in a row or three in a row might be their Achilles heel. This one,
so going with the Knights.
Go with the Knights.
I do like the return of Dane Gagai as well. Obviously, he brings
he stiffens up their defense. Yep.
Yeah, significantly. Rabbitohs Warriors. Rabbitohs, a sigh of relief coming out of Redfern at the moment after they finally got a win on the board. Taking on a Warriors side, as you just mentioned, who knocked off Newcastle at home. They travel this weekend, obviously, coming to town. Devastating news for Luke Metcalf, who's I think it's a broken tibia. He's out.
Yes.
He's going to be out for an extended period of time, because that partnership with Sean Johnson was really just starting to blossom a little bit. Tamari Martin's going to come in at the 6 to replace him. Chance Nickel-Klukstad back into the side as well at fullback for the Warriors.
Yeah, look, the emergence of Jack Whiten is going to be so immense for this Rabbitohs team. And we saw two tries on the weekend against the Doggies or last Easter Friday. He could be the X factor. I think that they're about to spread their wings a bit, the Rabbitohs, I think. And I think it's on the back of Whiten's enthusiasm. He's the week before in their loss, when he first played his first game, he made like 30 tackles, 20 hit-ups. He's a guy who loves to be in the game. And I think this weekend against the Warriors, without Metcalf, who I think has been fantastic for them, I think travelling over here against the desperate Rabbitohs might be a little bit too much for Andrew Webster's boys. And I think that the Rabbitohs can get the Warriors in a tight one.
I'll tell you what, MG, when I was watching Rabbitohs Bulldogs last weekend, I was thinking back to those comments you made on last week's ep and about if the Bulldogs beat the Rabbitohs, the pressure on Demetria will be going through the roof.
Yep.
And then when they got there, I was like, I laughed and I thought, oh, MG was so close to being spot on.
Yep.
And I agree with you. I think they win again this week, and all of a sudden we'll start to forget slow and
sluggish start. It's amazing how quick a player or a club can turn around in 2 weeks in the NRL.
Speaking of turning it around, Manly, they will want to turn it around. Their performance against the Dragons last week was fairly unmanly, like, really. They take on the Penny Panthers. They host the Penny Panthers, in fact, with the significant in of one Jay Fisher-Harris coming back to that starting side, which is huge.
Yeah, it's massive. It is massive. Look, the Manly Warringah Seagulls remind me a lot of the Canberra Raiders at the moment. They're a team that can beat anyone in the competition, but they can't put that consistency together. And against the Dragons, it was probably their worst performance of the year, which is probably bad news for Penrith, because they'll be smarting. They're going back to Four Pines this Saturday at 5:30 with their tails between their legs. Cherry Evans just last week in that game against the Dragons equaled Cliffy Lyons' record as games played. So there's a lot to play for. If it's a sunny, beautiful day on the Shire, you can bet your bottom dollar that would be a house full sign. Look, obviously, I'm going for the Panthers, and I think the Panthers will win this, but I think Turbo is due. Tommy Turbo, the way he started that game against the Dragons, or that offload that he produced when he had 5 Dragons players on him to give it to Kohler for a try, was very a la Arthur Beetson in his prime. Arthur Beetson would run in, for those that didn't know much about Artie and didn't see him play. He's one of the reasons I fell in love with rugby league, because I'd watch him play for either the Roosters or Parra or whoever it was, and he'd run the ball up like as a front row. On the way down, he'd have 3 or 4 players on him, but the ball would come out somewhere. The ball would always come out for an offload. And that was what Tommy Turbo did in that game. It reminded me straight away of Arthur Beetson and how good he was. So, yeah, look, it's a tough one for Penrith. Travelling over there to the Shire, not the Shire, to the Northern Beaches, but I think they'll get the job done.
Yeah, well, I can understand it for you Westies. All the beaches start to look the same. You get a bit confused as to where you actually travel to.
Especially when you got, Penrith Beach, like we all go there now. So that's we don't need anybody's beach. We've got Penrith Beach, baby.
The only thing the roof was missing was a beach, and you've got one now. So no need to ever leave the joint. Then this is something that I know you've given them plenty of praise, but something that I don't think a lot of people appreciate. Dolphins are top of the ladder again, MG. It's 2023 all over again. Wayne's done it. They host the West Tigers. This one's at Suncorp, not at KO Stadium in Redcliffe. This one is in the heart of Brisbane. It'll be massive. It'll be packed out. Obviously, they'll have to do it without Max Plath, who's out with a hip drop suspension from last week. The West Tigers, on the other hand, will be without Lachie Golvin, who's also out with a hip drop suspension. But they are set to blood. Benji is putting faith in another youngster. Latu Fainu going to make his debut coming off the bench in the 14.
Yeah, what a game, really. Like, if we said this at the start of the season, we can't wait for round five when the Dolphins take on the Tigers, someone would say, come on, man, come and have a test. Yeah, just sit in the room, sit in this dark room with this white coat on and just and mumble. Blah, 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 blah. But here we are. We're in for round five. Dolphins are sitting atop the table, as you mentioned. The Tigers have rocketed in the sixth position on the ladder. They're both playing a great brand of footy. Herbie Farnworth for the Dolphins is starting to get involved. Flegler is starting to get involved. And their their major off-season buyers are starting to produce. And that means that the Dolphins, something Wayne does, he seems to do it. I don't know how. If we knew the key to his systems, we'd all try and unlock it. But he's the consummate coach who just knows get things done.
MG, I've heard that he's been inspired by Benji's relaxed attitude. He's actually coaching from home 2 days a week now. He's just doing
instead of going to play golf before games, he's going to play some putt-putt.
Yeah, he's...
I'm not walking out in holes, mate. I'll play putt-putt.
This is a genuinely and then you mentioned some of these storylines earlier in the pod, but when was the last time a coach coached against his brother? Has it ever happened before?
I'm not sure. Maybe Brian Smith and Tony Smith. Maybe when one was coaching Power and one was playing for the maybe.
It's something we probably should have looked into before the pod. But Benji Marshall to coach and his brother Jeremy starting at the 9 for the Dolphins.
That's and awesome, then, isn't it?
I mean, when did you see that? When was the last time you saw two coaches warmly hug one another pre or post game? Because I reckon you're going to see it this weekend with Wayne and Benj.
Yeah, we see it a fair bit. Like the coaches, you know, Bellamy and Stewart are very close from their playing days, and you see a lot of the ex players now coaching who are ex teammates of the bloke they're coming up against. So I like to see more of it, to be honest, because I think it's a fantastic look. But this game has all the hallmarks of being a really, I'm glad that it's at Suncorp because it's nice and open. Mm-hmm. We're going to see all the flamboyance of both these teams attack. I think at the end of the day, I think young Galvin, even though he's only played a handful of first grade games, the players around you when your rookie comes in the ground, I remember Brad Fittler when he first came to Penrith and got put in the first grade against the Western Suburbs Magpies at Arana Park as an 18-year-old. He might have been 17. He might have been 17 and a half or something, but his first touch of the ball, you went, okay. And that kind of lifts the whole club, not just the players, but it lifts the supporters, it lifts the coaches up because the coach gets a little pat in the back thinking to himself, well, I've done the right thing there. And I think that's what's been happening with young Galvin. Has he been the best player on the field? Well, close to it last week against Parramatta, but it's more so the fact that he's holding his own against the big boys that makes the West Tigers hierarchy and their fan base and their fellow players that makes them feverish in their attempt to try and get a victory. And that's gone this week. But then Fainu comes in and there's another kid who's making his debut. And so it's Benji Marshall's system. You know, he's not scared to give these kids a go. And I love it because if you're good enough, you're old enough. That seems to be the mantra of the Tigers at the moment. But I think coming up against the seasoned, one of the oldest teams in the competition on paper, Kenny Bromwich comes back into the side for Plath, I think, which ups their ante a bit as far as age goes. I think the Dolphins will be too strong for the Tigers.
Righto, let's roll around to this thing on Sunday, which we don't need to spend too much time on. Cowboys to take on the Titans, MG. Who are you tipping?
Well, I'd like to get your point of view on this because I've got a couple of – I think it's time to move Campbell to the halves, and I think it's time to put Brimson back to fullback. because we're not seeing any attacking prowess from the Titans at all. I don't think young, is it Tanner Boyd who's
Tanner.
I don't think Tanner's a seven. I think he's a nine. I think he's either a replacement nine or a starting nine. I don't think you got Foran and him who are very similar in their approach. You haven't got an explosive number six or seven. You need one of them to be explosive.
We can't fit another nine in the side. We've already got Sam Verrills coming on at 14 and Chris Randall starting at the nine. So
you've got to bite the bullet sooner or later. I think Brimson's wasted in the centres. I think Campbell at the moment, he needs to have his hands on the ball. He's your best player in attack. He's got to have his hands on the ball more so than anyone else in the team. I'd put him at number seven. I'd say do your thing. Just, you know what, play what's in front of you. You got here and there to stabilise the team when we need be, but at the moment we need something to happen. They've got to a 10-0 lead against the Dolphins. We thought, oh, this looks good. But then you look at their tries. One was from a grubber and Joloff scored, and there was another. Like, it's just not working at the moment for the Titans. So what you've got to do is change it. You can't have Brimson in the centres not touching the ball. I mean, the ball goes out.
I'd put him to 5'8". I'd put four into seven, and I'd put AJ at six. Because I know what you're saying about Jaden Campbell, and I agree he's the most gifted attacker in
Brimson's
the side.
Brimson's a Queensland fullback. Brimson's number one. He's played fullback for Queensland.
I just think if Jaden Campbell's your best player, you want him in his best spot, and I think fullback's his best spot. This is just as a fan. I would love to see AJ move into six. But ultimately, none of this matters if we couldn't defend a tennis net right now. That's the problem. You've seen every year, MG, you and I did this. We walked through, 20 years of rugby league a couple of years ago, and you looked at it, and every year the best defensive team won the comp.
Always.
It's how it works. Right now, Penrith, for all their, you know, Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary and Stephen Crichton and all the attacking prowess over the years, it's their defence. And that's why Brisbane got to the grand final last year, because their defence was as good as it had ever been. Right now, the Titans' defence is nowhere. So it's almost irrelevant who's playing in their halves, because they're not defending well enough. But I agree with you. They do need to make a change, because right now, they're just not getting enough opportunities through Tanner Boyd and Kieran Foran.
Yeah, unfortunately, they come up against a team who got spanked last week in 38 points to 12 from the Broncos, the Cowboys, who will be embarrassed by that performance. Todd Payton said as much in his press conference, and they're playing where? They're playing at home, Queensland Country Bank Stadium, which doesn't bode well for the Titans. I think it's going to be a long week for the Titans once again.
Can we just also, another tip of the cap to Tommy Dearden, the chase down on Selwyn Cobbo last when you look up, I would have forgiven Tom Dearden for thinking that is one of the most gifted athletes in the game right now. I could probably put in a half-assed effort and not get. That was all time. Now, it wasn't to win a game. It wasn't Sattler. You know, it wasn't one of those tackles.
It wasn't a grand final tackle. No, it wasn't a grand final tackle, but it was the equal of anything I've ever seen on a rugby league field, as far as cover defence goes. I've seen a lot in my time over the last 30, 40 years of cover defence. Steve Mortimer was excellent. Ron Coote. Brandy was good at it. Scotty Sattler in the grand final.
But that we had a great one from DCE last year too,
yes,
against the Titans.
Yes, there was one earlier. There was one in Vegas as well, from when Saab was running down the sideline and Ilias come across.
Yes.
And clipped him. That was fantastic. It's a fine art, the cover defence. And Dearden, as you said, Liam, that's what captains do. Yeah, he had every right to say, you know, this guy's in. But he went and he went and he went. And that should have inspired his team, but unfortunately it didn't. So, look, they have I think they're lucky they've got the Titans this week, because at the moment the Cowboys, they just when you think that they're the team that could do anything in this competition, they go and play like they did against the Broncos last week. Because the Broncos weren't at full. The Broncos didn't play that well. The Broncos' kicking game was fantastic from Reynolds, but apart from that, nothing kind of set fire to the what I saw. But Cowboys were woeful, man. Cowboys were woeful.
It's like the Cowboys keep missing a link in the chain. They just keep there's a tooth in their chain that's been worn down. As a result, when they go to pedal and accelerate and get good, they just keep stuttering. So but you expect them to get the win this weekend against the Titans, who odds on to win the spoon at the moment.
Well, if they do beat the Titans and we see young Chatty Townsend score a try, you might see the the post-try celebration or post-try, what he does now, he blocks his ears and says shush to everyone because there's too many critics in the game.
Yeah, right. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Chad. Raiders. It's the Raiders Eels. Look, I mean, a Gutho shanked kick for goal, and we're talking about the Eels in a different light, but they got done by the West Tigers. You see how much they miss Mitchell Moses, but the Raiders are going to be without Zach Hosking this week as well.
Mitchell Moses plays against the Tigers. Parramatta win by 18 points. As much ball as they had in that 20-metre line for the Eels against the Tigers, for all the heroics of the Tigers that we're talking about post-game, well, that wouldn't have happened if Moses plays, and they're going to miss him so much, so much. They can't score a try. Dylan Brown's not a seven. He's a runner. So I look at it again. You've got to think about what to do. Do you put Gutho at number six just for his size and his strength and just to mix it up and put one of these young kids at fullback? I don't know. But at the moment, the Raiders down there are formidable, and I think the Raiders could do a little bit of a job on the Eels this weekend.
All right, very nice. All right, there you have it. That is MG's Rugby League rundown heading into round five. MG, I'm glad you don't have to have too many drinks before the game with Mav not playing for first grade this week. The liver will appreciate it.
Well, you might still be a chance because the fish, as we speak, has a fitness test today. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't pass that, I think Mav's in. So,
all right, we'll head for the bottle then.
The fish being back, man, he's their inspirational leader, and look, it's just Mav's ready for the roller coaster. You know, he was glad he got the game last week, and I think he just wants to play footy and this week.
Oh, I'm excited for Mav. I'm worried about your liver and your nerves. That's what I'm concerned about.
I gave up on that years ago. He's got his own postcode. My liver.
Righto, there it is. The round five rugby league rundown in the books. MG, we'll see you next week.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.